So the theme for this year is exactly what today's sermon or today's message is all about. It says, come and encounter God. Okay? Come and encounter God. These four simple words yet are so impacting to our lives. Okay? We can come to church every single time, but if you're not here to encounter God, if you don't come with that expectant heart, if you come to church just to daydream, if you come to church just to sleep, if you come to church just to look around and not come to church to expect from God, guess what? You're not going to find him. See, that's what the whole verse is saying. He says, you will seek me, but he says, and you will find me only if you search for me with all of your heart. If our heart is not in the right place in searching for God, brother, you can come to church all you want. You can drop down to your knees and just say the words and babble a prayer out there all the time. But if your heart is not set in really and truly searching for God and seeking for God, you will never find God. You will never find God. Because let me tell you, God, a lot of people think that God is just here in the church because, quote, quote, it's a church. That's where you find God. In the midst of these four walls, if our hearts were not in here, then the presence of God would not be here with us. If we were not here truly seeking our Lord. When we start seeking God, there are benefits to all of that. There are so many things that will happen to our lives. As we read, and if you also look in verse 12, one verse right above, he says, you will seek me, he says, and those that seek him, the Lord will restore them. Okay? The Lord will restore them. Well, Pastor, I don't need to be restored. Really? I think every single one of us needs to be restored. And we needed that big restoration when we came to know Christ, and praise the Lord, we got there, but that doesn't mean that you're completely restored, because the trials and tribulations of your life, the difficulties of your life, sometimes the backsliding of our lives tells us that we need to be restored. One would think that by God casting out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, that he would not want sinful man to be near his holy presence. But Adam and Eve were cast out for their own rebellion. I mean, God said in Genesis 3, verses 22 to 24, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us. God is speaking, knowing good and evil. He said, he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This tells me, it says, God doesn't want man to live with him forever. I thought the whole intent of God creating mankind was that he could live with him forever. Adam and Eve were cast out so that they would not be tempted to eat from the tree of life and then live forever. Like I said, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want an eternity for his creation. The reason is that they would live forever in that sinful state and sin-cursed universe. Okay? Such a punishment would mean no possibility of salvation to live in the new heavens and new earth without sin or absent from pain. See, if God hadn't cast them out, and in that sinful state, they would have eaten of the tree of life and lived forever. They would have lived forever in that fallen state, in this cursed world. So God had no other reason, but to throw them out, to cast them out, to push them out of the Garden of Eden so that they would not be tempted, because if they were tempted once, they could potentially be tempted again to now eat from that other tree. And so God said, I'm sorry, but you have to be placed outside, and there is no way you are coming back in here. Because not only that, he says, you are not coming back in because I already have a plan in place. And we thank the Lord for his plan. For Adam and Eve's sake, They were banished, and God drove them out of the garden. God had to set his plan of redemption in place. See, speaking to the snake, to the woman's seed, he said, he will crush your head, and you will strike the heel. This was the God's way of letting man know that God already had a plan in place. This is the defeat of Satan by Christ. These were the words of God. And this is exactly right now at this place where the rift occurred. Man was separated from God at this point. Sin had caused a separation between holy God and his perfect creation, which now that perfect creation has now fallen because they have fallen into the temptation of sin. As the story unfolds of mankind, God has always been providing the means for mankind to draw back to him. God has never left mankind alone. Even though they could have, because that's what man deserved, for being disobedient, for not following God's orders, God could have said, you know what? I don't want nothing to do with you. You deserve what you got. You deserve to be punished. You deserve to be separated from me. You deserve that. God in all his righteousness had every right to say so, but God never did. In our fallen state, in the fallen state of mankind, God never left mankind alone. In his fallen state, God always provided a means to always come back to him. And that shows you, one, who God is. That in our fallen state, he will not push us away. In fact, in our fallen state, he wants us to come closer to him. He's not going to reject us. He's not going to push us away. He wants us to come closer to him. Now, mind you, it's not a mandatory, or it's not a forced or fear-filled, pressured return. Because God can say to you, if you don't come back to me, I'm going to send all my angels in heaven, and I'm going to hunt you down. Oh, Lord, yes, yes, I'm coming right with you, Lord. If you don't come back to me, I'm going to send all the 10 plagues of Egypt, and although they hadn't occurred yet, I'm going to send all 10 plagues of Egypt, and you are going to come back to me whether you like it or not. Oh, yes, 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 Lord. And see, that fills the person's heart with fear. And when there is a fearful God, when there is this God who is just throwing down lightning and throwing down punishments and throwing down plagues, people naturally, yes, Lord, they want to appease his anger. And what they do is they come closer to him, but they're not there because they want to be there. They were forced to come back to God. See, God doesn't work like that. God, that's not our God. When you decide to draw away from God, when you go away from God, he says, because he loves you, he allows you to make those decisions. And he says, and even still, in those drawing away from him, he says, I'm still going to be here. Whether you like it or not, I'm still going to be beside you. Because I am going to be there the day you decide to come back to me. See, that coming back to God is what we must eventually do. It's a voluntary. It's a humbled return back to God. It's an acknowledgement and a desire to be back with God. That's why we don't force anybody to come to know God. Because if you force somebody to come to know God, the first step, they're out. But yet if you know that you need God, if you know that you want to be with him, there's nothing that's going to push you away. Nobody's going to tear you away because you have decided in your heart and in your mind that God is who I need in my life so that I could be good. God is who I need in my life in order to be restored. God is who I need in my life in order to walk right and do what is right. It is our acknowledgement. It is our understanding of how we need to be with God in order to walk this way. Now, what keeps man from God is sin. Okay? So, in order to do away with that gap, sin now must be removed so that we can draw closer to God. See, if you get this little this little picture, you got man, you got God, and you got sin in the middle. So, in order for man and God to be back, come back together again, sin now has to be removed. And so, back then, in the attempts that God has given to mankind, and in the Old Testament, God established the whole Levitical system. Okay? The whole Levitical system, which was the priest, the tribe of Levi were the priests of God. He established this system in order for sin to be expunged, to be taken away, and that had to be done through sacrifice. Right? So we had the Hebrews 9:22 tells us, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And so that's why they always had to come and bring a little sacrifice, depending on your sins or the sins you've committed, and then shed the blood and spread the blood all over the altar so that God can receive this sacrifice and now find forgiveness for your sins. So this continued, this Levitical system continued until the coming of Jesus Christ himself. And now, his ultimate sacrifice, who is now Jesus, he opened up the doors from heaven, and now allows anyone who wants to enter to do so under the covering of grace. So that means now, we don't need to shed blood. We don't need to bring our sacrifice to the altar every Sunday. You don't need me to now get your sacrifice, slit the throat and start spreading and do the same system as the Levitical systems of the priesthood did back then in older times. You don't need me as the pastor now to be doing this because now something greater has happened. Okay? In the book of Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. It talks about it and it says, at that moment, and at that moment means when Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross, he says, and when he says, it is done, and then he gave his life, he says, at that moment, it says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, a lot of us just read this verse and we just glance over it. Oh, the curtain was split from top to bottom. Okay, well, what happened? Keep in mind that it was the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from mankind. So if you want to imagine this being the temple, there would be a curtain right here, right in front of us. And the only one that would be able to enter into the presence of God was the high priest. In this case, it would be the pastor, right? And nobody else would be entered to come here. That means that if you wanted to come before God, you couldn't do it by yourself because it was a curtain separating you from that. That curtain symbolized and represented sin. That is what kept us from our Heavenly Father. In fact, if you remember, the high priest could not even stand before the presence of God if his sins were still upon him. So they had to go through a cleansing ceremony in order for the high priest, in order to be able to enter into and beyond the curtain and into the Holy of Holies. Because if his life was full of sin, he could not stand in the presence of the Most Holy God. He would die. And we all know how that went. So this is a very significant sentence, and we can't just read right over it. So the curtain, like I was saying, symbolically was that what separated sinful man from holy God. But what happened? Once Jesus gave his life in sacrifice, it says the curtain was torn from top to bottom. In other words, God has received the ultimate sacrifice unto him. And he has taken the curtain and he has torn it. He has removed the veil between man and God. He has taken what was standing as an obstacle between him and God, and he has now removed it because the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ, he has given his life, he has shed his blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And since there is no other sacrifice greater than that of Jesus Christ, that stands to be true now. So God said, a sacrifice has been provided, blood has been shed for your forgiveness of all of your sins, and because of that, he says, I don't need this curtain anymore, and it was taken away. Curtain anymore not needed, the high priest no longer needed, because now you, anybody, can come to the presence of God. Jesus sacrifice remove the consequence of sin. The consequence of sin is separation. That is what sin does to our lives. It separates us from God. When you sin, you don't want to come close to God. When you sin, you don't want to step in within these four corners of this church. When you sin, you don't even want to bow down and pray. You want to get further and further and further away from God as possibly can. That is the consequence of sin. Although the healing part of all of that is that to draw closer to God and he will restore you, so his word says, that is what draws us closer to him. See, before Jesus, the curtain was in place, but no one but the high priest can come before God. And see, and that was the law. That's what God had established. But now, after Jesus' death, the curtain has now been removed, and anyone can now come to God freely, but now it must be done through Jesus. This is now what's called grace. Because God says, you don't have to do anything anymore. You don't have to bring a sacrifice. I have provided a sacrifice for you. You can come to me freely anytime. And this is what's now called grace. So you can come to the Father, however, let's just say the word dirty, however dirty you are, but you now have to come through Jesus, you will now be cleansed and be made acceptable before him. That is now, we don't go through a high priest, a Levitical or a pastor. We go through the high priest, which is now Jesus. We now go through him to the Father. And for him, we don't need to present sacrifices anymore. He has become now the ultimate sacrifice in itself. See, going through Jesus, as I was writing this, I got this visual. I'm a very visual person. It's like going through those automatic car washes. You know, it's like you come, you bring your dirty car. Like my car right now still has dirt from Mexico, right? Sometimes I don't want to remove it because I love my Mexico. But I got to take it in. It's going to get real ugly pretty soon. But I got to take that car to a car wash. So I start off dirty, but then I go through the car wash and the whole car wash just cleanses me. But then as I come out perfectly clean. Not perfect, but acceptable clean, right? I have now been made acceptable. When we come through Jesus, you can come to Jesus any which way you are. Any which way you are. You can come to him however sins you committed, whatever sins you have done, whatever has separated you from God, you can now come to him. And through him, you are going to be cleansed with his blood. He's going to wipe you down that by the time you get through him, you are now acceptable before God. That is the process of what coming through Jesus, coming to God through Jesus is all about. And it's not a brand new concept. It's not something that we don't know. The Bible has been telling us all the time. Here's some examples. Job 22:23. It says, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness far from your heart. Jeremiah 15:19 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me, you will stand. Isaiah 55:7 says that let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteousness man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have now compassion on him and to our God, for he will have what? He will abundantly pardon. That means forgive him. James 4:8 tells us, draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Joel 2:32 tells us, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. Among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. So that means anyone's, and these are just a sampling of some of the verses where the Lord is always telling us, if you're lost in your sin, if you have done your way, all you have to do is come. All you have to do is come back to me. He says, if you come back to me, I will restore you. If you come back to me, I will have compassion on you. If you come back to me, he goes, I will make all your ways straight. If you come back to me. And that if is not that forced coming back. If means if you want to, you can come back to me. See, God, again, God is not going to force us to do this. But you understand that coming back to God means restoration, means happiness, means fulfillment, means glorification, means all of these wonderful things that the Lord has for us. That, I mean, do you want to live in a life that's full of agony and pain and misery? And then you call that life? How could anybody in their right mind call that life? It's someone who does not know what life truly is. That is why Jesus has provided this way, so that we can now come to the Father, so that we can now come to Him and ask Him forgiveness for our sins. See, a lot of people say when we do kind of altar call and we ask people to come, oh, I don't want to go up there because, you know, I've been a Christian for 24 years, and if I go up there, that's going to say I'm a sinner. You're all sinners. We're all sinners, excuse me. We're all sinners. And we all need to be restored. We all need to come to the presence of God. It's not just one, it's not just another, because there's a lot of people out there that all they do is looking around. But Jesus has provided the ways, Jesus has provided the means so that we can now freely come to the Father. Jesus is our vehicle for us now to come to His presence. Jesus now is the bridge that connects us now to the Father. Jesus paved the blood road that will lead us directly to His throne. And He did that all in Calvary. He did that all through the cross. Jesus now stands before the Father and us. And He's saying to us, come to Him. Come to Him. Not only Jesus is providing the road, God is saying, come. God is there with His arms wide open. And all of you that have sinned, God says, I will pardon you. I will forgive your sins abundantly. There is nothing that I cannot forgive, says the Lord. I will forgive you, and I will restore you, and I will strengthen you, and I will make you shine for Him. So don't let your sinful mind try to keep you from entering this life-changing relationship by encountering God. Because it's sin that's going to separate you from that. It's sin that's going to creep into your head, into your mind that says, you don't need to go. You don't need to go to Him. You can just keep on doing whatever you're doing and everything's going to be okay. Because, you know, God is an all-loving God and He's going to forgive you. You need to come before His presence and say, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you in my life daily. It's a constant coming to the Lord. That is why throughout this whole year, I will be emphasizing the coming to God, because I can't emphasize this enough. I cannot emphasize this enough, that we as His children need to live daily before His presence. When we decide to live away from His presence, it's when everything all goes bad. Everything goes bad. But when we are standing in His presence, everything is done right. So who needs to come before His presence? Here's a few people. Those that are tired need to come before the presence of God. Those who are heavy laden need to come before the presence of God. Those who are thirsty for righteousness need to come before the presence of God. Those who are poor in spirit, those who are poor need to come before the presence of God. Those who are dead spiritually need to come before the presence of God. Those who are hungry need to come before the presence of God. Those who are lost need to come before the presence of God. Those who are living lives, those that are insecure, those that require forgiveness, those that need to be strengthened, those that are broken, those that are seeking salvation. Brother, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Because anyone and everyone needs to be before the presence of God. And will God reject anybody? No. He will not reject you. He will not push you away. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how you lived. It doesn't matter how much you have rejected God up until this point. God is saying, come. Come to me and I will restore you. Really, like I mentioned, is there anyone who is not invited to come to the Father? No. This is an open invitation from God to come to Him, and you will be restored. In the book of Isaiah, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now." He says, "Come now and let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they as red, they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." What that means is that it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how ugly the life you have led. It doesn't matter how ugly your thoughts have been. It doesn't matter how ugly things have been. They could be as dark red as they can possibly be. The Lord will turn them right around and make them white as snow. He will restore you. He will cleanse you. He will make you anew. He will build you up. He will make you strong. But how? When you decide to come to God. See, it doesn't work with God just overpowering and just doing all His stuff and you're not doing anything. If you feel the need, if you know that you need His presence in your life, if you know that you can't live life without Him, then you need to take that step to Him. He is always here. He is always here. You now need to come to Him and now have Him restore you. We have the choice of living dreary, hopeless, and half-filled happy lives, or we can choose to allow God to change our lives by just simply coming to Him. You know, we're starting out year 2018. Pretty soon we're going to be ending 2018. And I don't know, my mind is getting good, but I still remember. But we're just starting out year 2018. How are you starting it out? Are you starting it out already with problems? Are you starting it out already with an unhappy life? Are you already starting it out with a confused life? You don't know what to do. Are you starting it out already with all this, you know, need and depression and all this stuff? God says, why? When I am here. He says, come to me. He says, come to me. Now, some of you might think, well, I came to Him on Sunday and my life is still the same. Don't worry about that. Continually come to Him. Okay? Continually come to Him. It's like, do you really want to? Then show it. You know, show it. Let us be men and women of action. Let us live sinless lives, because it can be lived. It can be lived. If Jesus Himself said, go out there and sin no more, that means you have the option of living sinless lives. The fact that we sin is because we chose to sin. Our body is still under not the control, but under the influence of sin. And it's very easy for us to fall back into sin. That's why we have to choose not to sin. God has given you that option. God has broken those chains, and now you have the option of not living that way, but it's your decision. It's nobody else's. You have to come before the Father, and you have to stand before Him. I found this as I was preparing for the message. It says, talking about coming to God as you are. It says, as for the meaning and application of this phrase, we can go to the examples of how Jesus dealt with the sinners He encountered. Sometimes well-meaning Christians tell people that they have to clean up their lives before the God will accept them. But that is not what we see in Scripture. When speaking to the woman at the well, who was living with a man she was not married to, Jesus addressed the fact of her sin, then offered her salvation that she needed. Again, the woman caught in adultery was brought before Jesus, and He told her, go and sin no more. See, the sin was never excused. Sin was never ignored by God. The sin was never excused or ignored, but forgiveness was offered to anyone who recognized his sin and was willing to confess and forsake it. God certainly expects us to leave your sin, but that comes as part of our salvation, not as a prerequisite. We are not able to clean ourselves up without the help of God. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why we need God's help. If you don't ask for God's help, you will continually live in sin. You will continually live the life that you have led, thinking that you are okay with God when you're really not. You will continually live that way because you cannot cleanse your life from that sin. You need God's help. And how are you going to receive God's help? When you come to Him. God is always here, and He says, I will always help you. A little bit more clarification. So it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter what sinful things that you have done or what sinful things you are currently doing, and that just because God accepted you like this means that it's okay to continue living like this. Absolutely not. He says, this may be a popular belief or some of the messages out there in some of the churches, but it directly contradicts Scripture when it clearly says that these things from our past lives should be left behind, and that our former friends will think of us as strange things that we are doing. We are to do those things and leave them behind. We are not to continue living in such a manner and in such a form. Romans 13:13 says, commands us to walk honestly or decently, no longer participating in the licentious lifestyles of the world. He says, that's what it's telling us. He says, you are to do away from that. Galatians 5:13 says that we are called to liberty, but that we cannot use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, excusing our continued sins. Because there's a lot of people out there that says, well, I'm free to do this. You know, I'm free to do this. That's the liberty that God has given to us. I'm okay with God. You know, I understand this. But that a lot of people use that as an excuse to continue living the lifestyle that they have led. Don't take Scripture and twist it to your benefit. When we take Scripture and twist it and make it seem that it's okay for me to continue the way I've been living, you are doing exactly what the devil did. Taking Scripture and twisting it around for His benefit. Okay, let us not do that. Scripture is what guides us. It is what we are to base our life against too. And if Scripture tells us no, then it's a no. Don't excuse it. Well, I think he's saying that. No. God said this, and that is what it must be done. If you're living like that, you need to change your life. You're not going to change Scripture. When you excuse it, you're changing Scripture. And that is not right. That is the foundation. That is the authority of the Word of God. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? God says, come now. Come now and let's begin to fix this. Okay? Let's start out year 2018 with the right foot, if you will. Let's start out year 2018 with the right foot, and the right foot is coming to the altar. It's coming to the presence of God, to asking Him to help you throughout this year. Let's begin this wonderful encounter with this all-loving, all-gracious, all-forgiving, all-compassionate God. He is here, and all He's telling you is, come to me. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's your decision. It's yours. I can't force you. All I'm here, all I've been called, is to let you know what God is saying. And He says He wants to bless you. He says He wants to restore you. He says He wants to fill your life with His presence. And as the worship team comes up, He wants to fill your life with His presence, with His glory. But He can't force you. He can't push you out of that seat. If you want to, He is saying to you, come and let's begin this encounter with God. So I'm going to ask you all that if you want to come before the presence of God, the altar is open. Let us come together and understand and acknowledge that we can't live this life without the presence of God in our lives. Let us come before His presence and let us have this encounter with this all-loving God. So if you feel in your heart the presence, if you understood this message today, I'm going to ask you, stand up and come to the altar. Come to His presence. Come here. Come out of there. Just come here to the presence and you will find this all-loving, compassionate God. The sins that we are struggling with, you have to lay them before Him. You can't change them. In fact, you may be committing sins and you don't even know it. You need the presence of God. Stand up before Him and say, Lord, here I am. Stand up and say, Lord, come into my life. Lord, stand up right where you are and come before Him and say, Father, I need you. I can't live this life without you. Strengthen me. Fortify me. Cleanse my thoughts. Cleanse my lives. We need to come before His presence. Stand up before Him and say, Lord, here I am. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's message. And I thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. Because we know, Father, that your arms are open wide. And through the precious sacrifice that Jesus has done, it has granted us now a direct entrance into your throne of grace. I stand before you, Lord, with your people, with your church, Lord, that has stood up, Lord, and are asking you, Lord, for you to come into their hearts and help them battle and help them overcome and help them to be those victorious children that you have called them to be. I put their lives in your hands. Hear their prayers right now, Lord. Hear their hearts calling out to you today, Lord. And may your glorious presence fill us today and the rest of this year. Because all of this I ask in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.